too long, but I do have some things I want to share with you. I told you earlier that through a lot of revival meetings, spiritual renewal, and all that, and we go for a week. Very early in my ministry, we did 2 week meetings. Now, when I get opportunities like this on a Sunday where I have 3 chances, we can have a mini revival. We try to share and make use of that time well, regardless of who shows up, regardless of what might not happen. We know that God's word never comes back void. Amen? And when I stand before God, I want to be able to say I did it well. Amen? I did it with all that I had and the best of my ability. And so I'm going to be doing that again tonight. I'm going to share some history with you. I hope you don't mind. Pastor mentioned we've got a lot going on in our country to pray about with an election coming up. Of course, this is the traditional 9/11 Sunday. We don't ever want to forget what happened and how those people responded to something that was one of the worst moments in our history, but also a very proud moment in the fact that there's still people out there that love people. Amen? That care. And you go over there even now in New York and tour that 9/11 museum, and it just sends chills up your spine. Amen? And warms your heart. The British Army had just burned Washington, D.C. Francis Scott Key was afraid the United States had lost almost every single battle up to that day in 1814 when Fort McHenry was shelled. So Key set up a visual that night. He kept his eye on the large American flag that flew over the fort. That flag had been commissioned by the fort's commander, Major George Armistead, who asked for a flag so big that the British Army would see it even from a distance. So a seamstress, Mary Young Pickersgill, and her 13-year-old daughter, Caroline, worked in an upstairs apartment using 400 yards of the best quality wool bunting. They cut 15 stars that measured 2 feet from point to point, 8 red and 7 white stripes, each 2 feet wide. The flag, when it was sewn together, measured 30 foot by 42 foot. And that was the flag that Key watched late into the night. But along toward dawn, he lost sight of it. It was dark, it was raining, there was an ominous silence as the shelling ceased. What did that mean? Had the fort been taken? When the sun finally brightened the sky, Key looked to see if Baltimore had fallen to the British. But he saw that that flag still hung there. Amen. And it seemed to Francis Scott Key to stand for freedom and for hope, and most of all, for home. So he started to write a poem on the back of an envelope. And he began the first stanza of his famous lyric, "O Say Can You See, by the dawn's early light, when so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight of our ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land of the free and the home of the brave?" You know, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at our nation's banner, that American flag, we're also reminded of our Pledge of Allegiance that still says we are one nation under God. That's important. Banners are important. We're going to talk about that tonight. In Exodus 17, some of you know this story. I'm not going to read all the verses. We find an account of the wonderful victory provided by God for his people. The nation was wandering in the desert, wilderness. God had provided water for them from the rock. We know that is a picture of God's provision of salvation for all who would come and drink from the rock of ages, Jesus Christ. But as they left that place refreshed by God's supply, the enemy, Amalek, attacked. challenge for us is to rally around that standard bearer, that cheapest. Because to tell you the truth, that's only used two times. Song of Solomon, and in the text that we're about to read our scripture, excuse me, Exodus, those two places. And it literally means the chief standard bearer. The Lord's the chief standard bearer. And so, with those thoughts in mind, I want you to go to Psalm 20, and let's take a look at this. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt offerings, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We're zeroing in on verse 5 tonight. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen. We stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. I want to preach a message for these next few moments entitled, It is Time to Raise Our Banner. It is time to raise our banner. Psalm 60 and verse 4 gives us this information. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. Why? That it may be displayed because of the truth. You see, a flag, a standard, a banner can make the difference between a mighty advancing army and just a confused and unorganized mob. So we secure a flag. We set up a banner. We establish a standard. That's what we need to think about tonight. What shall our banner be? Well, the songwriter put it this way. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the king. As an ensign fair, we would lift it up today, while as ransom ones we sing. Marching on, marching on. For Christ, count everything but loss. And the crowning king will toil and sing beneath the banner of the cross. A lot of us in Sunday school were taught that song, His Banner Over Me, His Love. The scripture has much to say about banners. It's an important topic. It's something we need to look at tonight. And so, with those thoughts in mind, I want us to look at three things as to why we should set up our banners. Here's the first one I want you to think of me about. Our banner can be used to mark our alignment. Our banner can be used to mark our alignment. Throughout history, men have identified by the banner or standard. In the 16th century, when Sir Francis Drake sailed the high seas for the Queen of England, there were numerous vessels on the seven seas flying those black flags, upon which there was the emblem of the skull and crossbones. That particular banner identified that vessel of pirates, and those ships were always manned by a ruthless, merciless crew. The skull and crossbones represented evil and brutality, even death. And those men who sailed under such an emblem or banner had come to be aligned with all that was embodied in that skull and crossbones. Another banner that was popular was the white flag. That white flag has come to represent those who wish to surrender. It's the flag of submission. It's the flag of acquiescence. Unfortunately, it seems to be the flag that's flying over the White House 24 hours a day. That's disappointing. I've noticed that the United States astronauts wear on the sleeve of their spacesuits an emblem of the United States flag. That flag is a banner of these men and women. They've aligned themselves with this banner and all that's embodied in it. Many years ago, when our service personnel were coming back from a desert storm, you could see all those yellow ribbons tied everywhere. You remember that? tonight, here's what we're zeroing in on. I just wanted to ask you, fire or ice? We talked about that this morning. Let me put it to you another way. I'm wondering if you have aligned yourself with all that is embodied in the most important banner. And that would be the cross. Right there. Are you ready to march under that banner? Are you prepared to align yourself unreservedly with the living God? Now, there's a lot of banners from which you may choose. The banner of power, banner of wealth, banner of prestige, banner of popularity. There are many banners under which you may become identified. But in our original text, in Psalm 20, and verse 7, what did it say? Some trust in chariots, right? Some trust in horses. But we're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen? So that's the banner of the cross. We do well to rejoice in God's salvation and in His name lift up our banners. You don't see a whole lot of that anymore in a lot of our churches. We see more people like this. I'll just call him Jack. He was coming out of the service one day. The preacher was standing at the door, as he always did, to shake hands. And the preacher grabbed Jack by the hand and pulled him aside. The pastor said to him, "Jack, you need to join the army of the Lord." And Jack replied, "I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor." And the pastor questioned, "Well, how come I almost never see you except at Christmas and Easter?" And Jack whispered back, "I'm in the Secret Service, Pastor. I get to see you." And I just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we've already got to. We really need some people that would remember what the banner is. Amen? Amen? To announce to the world that we are aligned with the cause of Jesus Christ and that we intend to march into victory under that banner and in His name and never give this world a reason to question our alignment or our affiliation. Hold that banner high so that all will know we've identified ourselves with Jesus Christ and His church and His kingdom. The Bible says we must either be for or against Him. If we're identified with Him or against Him, he that is not with me is against me. And throughout the Scripture, the Bible talks about that. I'm not even going to go into all the verses, but I mean, it's all over the place. But I realize, speaking in a local church setting, that sometimes people might get their feathers ruffled a little bit. Because that may mean that you have to deal with some realignment. 42 plus years doing what I'm doing full time, several years part time before that. I've gone through my share of vehicles, let me tell you. And I have a lot of maintenance done. And, be going for an oil change, and all of a sudden, "Well, that's pretty good, but we found this, and this." I didn't ask you to go look at that bad. No, no, thanks. "Well, Reverend, that alignment, you'll have to take care of it. I'm probably going to give you some problems one of these days." And I'm thinking, man, you guys just want my money. You always going to find something, It's okay. I didn't feel anything. Not too bad. Next time I'm going in, getting an electrical check or getting the air in my tires. "Reverend, what about that alignment?" I don't think so. Maybe next time. You kind of know how that story goes. Amen? And do you know that if you continue to do that, one day you will be off to the side on I-95. And not too happy about it. But they tried to warn you, so you wouldn't be in that situation. How many times has the man of God taken the word of God and said, "Thus saith the Lord," and all we can do is, "I don't think so." See, a banner can help us with our alignment. the Word. That's why we try to be faithful to it, because it's only through the Word that you see the light of what your carnal nature wants to do. Amen? That's where you get it, through the light of the cross. That's when you can become, you can deny self. Amen? And take up the cross and follow Him. It's that alignment that brings us into fellowship with God. Man, there's so many verses I'd like to go to tonight. But I know you've got a lot on your plate, a lot on your mind, so I'm going to go on to the next one. Our banner certainly can mark our alignment, but it also can mark our allegiance. Our allegiance. Once we set up our banner, it must never suffer loss. We must not allow it to fall. Once we align ourselves with Christ, nothing should be allowed to interfere with that alignment. Nothing should destroy what that banner represents. Now, when I think about allegiance, I think about commitment. Okay? I think about loyalty. I think about faithfulness. Isn't that what Matthew was talking about in chapter 6, verse 33, when he said, seek first the kingdom of God, right? Seek it first. And all those things get added unto you. I don't know how many note takers we have out there tonight, but I'm going to give you a statement. And I hope you'll jot it down. It's kind of a long one. I'll go through it slowly. It is never safe to assume that just because we have had some success in spiritual change, that it's permanent. The only permanent aspect of our relationship with God is our salvation. Everything else is part of the intentional process of evaluating ourselves in the light, the clear teaching of Scripture, to see if we are still marching under the right banner. Truly authentic change never ends. Never ends. Alignment, allegiance. How many times in the Scriptures do we see that term? Examine yourself, examine yourself, examine yourself, examine yourself. He's not doing that, so we'll just always be spastic and, you know, crazy and looking around. He's doing that so it can mark your alignment and it can mark your allegiance and make sure you're on the right road. Amen? Because you know as well as I do, there's a million things out there that can get you off. And it takes some moments like this, when we take some time to go back and say, listen, what about your banner? It's for display, not to be hid. We rejoice in His salvation, and in His name we lift them up. The Lord is my banner. The cross is my banner. Back during the Second World War, the Japanese planes and pilots were both inferior to the United States forces, and the Japanese military knew there was only one way in which they'd have any chance of success. So the Japanese generals asked for pilots who would be willing to crash dive their bomb-laden Zero fighters into the U.S. warships. And there were thousands of Japanese aviators who volunteered to become kamikaze pilots. 4,000 of these pilots who deliberately crash-dived their airplanes into American ships as the war in the Pacific closed in on their homeland. We look back and think we're crazy, but I tell you this, for these pilots, that Japanese flag not only marked their alignment, it marked their allegiance. I pray that the Lord would not only see banners of alignment flying in this church. I pray we'd also see banners of allegiance. I pray there would be banners representing faithfulness in all things. Banners representing dedication. Banners marking a willingness to serve. Oh, folks. Man, there's so many things I want to say. Romans 6 tells us, you know, you do have a choice. You do have a choice. Sin doesn't have to be your master. You can walk under a better banner than that. You can yield yourself, your members of the body to unrighteousness, or you can yield them to righteousness. You do have a choice. Amen? It's all about alignment. It's all about allegiance. spiritual progress, it, our churches demands our allegiance. And so we have to march in a cooperative spirit under the banner of the cross. That involves some sacrifice. It involves a full measure of devotion. And it involves unity. Amen? If we're going to go forward, we've got to do the cooperative working. We can't always have our way and never listen to what anybody else has to say. They're saved same as you are. God loves them same as you. They got the same grace. Just because we're different and we're wired different, we think differently, doesn't mean we just have to sit still. Amen? There's a way that we can move forward. And I hope we'll learn to do that before we die. Many years ago, the Spaniards were besieging the little town of San Quentin on the frontiers of France. I love this illustration. If you paid it back out, pay it back in right here. That little town was in ruins. Many of the people in this little town, they were sick with fever, and there had been a famine there. Not very many supplies, not very much food. So thoughts of treason existed among many of the townspeople. One day, the Spanish army shot over the walls a shower of arrows, and attached to the arrows were little slips of parchment promising the inhabitants that if they would surrender, their lives and the property would be spared. You following me so far? Okay. Now, the governor of this town, he was one of the leading leaders of the Huguenots, the great leaders. And as his sole answer to all of their inducements to surrender, he took a piece of parchment and he tied it to a javelin and he wrote on the parchment two words. Regum Haggis. We already had a king. We already had a king! And he hurled that back into the camp of an enemy. That was his one and only answer to all of their threats and all of their inducements. And when I read that illustration, ladies and gentlemen, it reminded me of Psalm 94 and verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Where is that happening in the church today? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that we said we are not going to worship at the altar of wokeness. We are not okay with drag queens teaching our kids in the public libraries and our military on its own basis. We already have a king. I'm not going to walk under the banner of the LGBTQXYZ or whatever else I got going. I'm not going to do that. Redefining marriage. I'm not going to do that. Murdering babies and calling it choice. I'm not going to do that. Now, let's be clear. I don't want to see these people get hurt. I don't want to see hate speech toward them. They're Americans. They got a right to fight for whatever they can get. But that doesn't mean I have to walk under the banner. I've got every right to fight against them. Amen. I've got every right to stand for righteousness and say the Lord, what the Bible has to say. Amen. Now, there are some issues here, however. Many times when it comes to choosing life, we want to talk about the women all the time and never talk about the men. Takes two to tango, amen? What about all the cowards, generations of cowards that left us in the situation we're in? We don't want to talk about that. And sometimes even when we mention homosexuality, it's like that's the only sin in the Bible. Because we seem to amen the loudest about the stuff we don't struggle with. People sit out there with a wicked tongue, and sowing discord, and bitter, awful language. Yeah, I'll try my ass. LGBT, no way. Are you hearing me? It's all about allegiance. But we already have a king. I like what the Hebrew boy said there. we're still not walking bigger, better.
We already have a king.
And I already have a king. And his name is Jesus. And at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's the banner I continue to walk under. And I'm not leaving it, regardless of how unpopular that might be. Just not going to do it. I've got an alignment. I've got an allegiance. And then thirdly and finally tonight, our banner may be used to mark our achievements. Our achievements. Banners are often used to mark victories. Many years ago, when Edmund Hillary of New Zealand conquered Mount Everest, this was May 29, 1953, upon accomplishing this great feat, Hillary placed New Zealand's flag on top of Mount Everest. That was used to mark his achievement. Many of you will remember that summer night in 1967 when Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong planted the American flag on the moon. It was planted there as a mark of their achievement and the achievement of the United States space program. But perhaps one of the most graphic and well-known portrayals of a banner being used to mark an achievement in history is the one depicted at the Marine Corps Memorial in Washington, D.C. I'm speaking of the bronze statue of the raising of the United States flag on Iwo Jima. That beautiful statue shows that victory that was achieved on the island of Iwo Jima on March 16, 1945 by the Greatest Generation. God offers claims. These weren't seasoned veterans. These were kids. And most of them knew they probably weren't going to be coming back. But they had an alignment. And they had an allegiance. And that's why we love and respect that crowd so very much. Amen? Because it marked their achievements. Somebody believed in something. Somebody stood up for something. Against all odds. Oh, how we need those kind of people today. You say, preacher, you're kind of getting political, kind of off track of your text, aren't you? Not really. Not really, but let me bring it back to the scripture. When Paul went to Corinth, he found an evil and immoral city. He was reviled and insulted on every side. The Jews condemned him. The Romans ignored him. The Greeks were hostile. And Paul had hoped and prayed for a breakthrough. And then Crispus was converted. Crispus was a ruler of the synagogue. And when Crispus was saved, the breakthrough was achieved, and the gospel was able to go to the Gentiles. And the Bible says in Acts 18:8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Oh, I want to tell you, that day Paul was able to set up his banner of victory in the synagogue in the house of Crispus, and a great victory was won. Oh, my dear friend, I'm thankful for that, because that gives me a reason to come to church tonight. Amen? And I'm praying that our banners may be raised in victory many times here and in the surrounding counties and areas. Surely there are many victories to be won. There are many goals to be achieved. There are many challenges to be met. But you know what, friend? Listen to me. Don't stop praying. Just like I sang about this morning, don't stop praying. We can do it because He is our banner. We will rejoice in His salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. James 5:12 says, let your yea be yea, let your nay be nay. Soldiers of the cross, listen to me as we close tonight. I know there's not that many here, but I want you to hear me. Soldiers of the cross. As bad as it is, as scary as it is, as difficult as it is, as unpopular as it is, this is no time, no time to trade in your boots for flip-flops. I don't care your age. I don't care your background. I don't care what your resume is. We need all hands on deck, and we need to raise our banner. And we need to do it now. Amen? We need to do it now. There's a lot riding on this election. There's a lot riding on what we do in this window of time that we have, even before the end of the year. state who you're going to serve? Is there not a cause? Present your body in the big sacrifice. Put your hand in the plow, don't look back, all of that. Seek first the kingdom. Double-minded man and stable in all his way of life. But here's what we're going to do tonight, folks. This is our banner. This is our cross. And my wife is going to play a song. And if you are physically able, I would like for you to gather around this cross, around this flag. We have room on both sides of the aisle, and you can set up these front pews. If you're physically able, I'd like for us to stand. And if you're physically able, I'd like for you to come and gather. Give a little traveling music in as we do this. I'm not trying to trick anybody. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody. I just want to give you a moment here tonight, folks, that you can remember. And remember this message. We do well to rejoice in his salvation. And in his name, we're going to raise that banner tonight. We're going to raise that banner. In just a moment, I'm going to have a corporate prayer with you all. But first of all, I want you to come. If you're physically able, keep making room for folks to come. Come on, go ahead on the side. Expand if you need to. Sit on the pews if you need to. I'm not asking anybody to kneel. I just want you to gather. I want some closer proximity to this flag. Take in this moment. They don't come by all that often. Oh, what a classic song. Surrender. That's what it's at. This is the place to do it, at the cross. So in the spirit of humility, in the spirit of submission, I want to ask you to do something with me tonight. You've probably done many times in this church, certainly in Awana. I know that we used to. Would you say with me the pledge to the Christian flag? I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior crucified, risen and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. Let me say a word of prayer with you. Dear Heavenly Father, what a day you've given us. What a journey through your word. I thank you for these people. In particular, because they've given me all three services, most of them. They've let themselves be exposed to these challenges. They could be doing something else tonight. I know a lot of them, their heart's in two places. But yet they've stayed, and they've been engaged, and they've taken in this message. God, we don't know what tomorrow holds. But we know what holds tomorrow. And we stand together under this banner tonight, God. And we say as the psalmist, we're going to rejoice in your salvation. And in your name, we're going to raise that banner. Oh, God, tonight, would you help us to remember our alignment? Help us to remember our allegiance. When those times come that we're tempted to compromise and tempted to say nothing when all hell is breaking loose. God, make us more soul conscious than we have ever been in our lives. May we look at people the way they